The New Zealand news landscape undergoes a radical reshaping. There are concerns that many Kiwis are already missing out. Unlike other countries, there's no requirement for New Zealand websites, including those with a news focus, to meet any accessibility standards. Accessing online content is already a challenge for people with a disability. They're among the 20% of New Zealanders who experience some form of digital exclusion. Captioning and audio descriptions can make a huge difference to the hearing or visually impaired. Access Matters Aotearoa has been campaigning for a complete redrafting of the Accessibility for New Zealanders Bill, one that would include minimum enforceable standards to help address accessibility issues. Policy lead Juliana Cavallo is with us. Welcome, Juliana. Thanks for your time.
Morena, thank you so much for having me.
Neil Jarvis works as digital accessibility consultant and believes the issue should be top of mind for policymakers. Good morning, Neil.
Kia ora, Catherine.
Neil, could you just run us through what we need to know? Just how many people have trouble accessing the news?
Well, that's a figure that we are never going to be certain of until there's a proper count. But we do know that in excess of one in five people in New Zealand have some kind of disability. Indeed, I think it's closer now to 24%. So those disabilities will range right through the spectrum. Some will be informational, some will not be. But the ones that are consists of many hundreds of thousands of Kiwis, maybe even up to a million, who will struggle to access content online, whether that's on the websites or through mobile apps, or even just being able to understand what is happening on their televisions if the content is not audio described, as you mentioned earlier.
From your own and from others' experience, could you work us through what the experience is of using news media in New Zealand?
Well, like any sector, it's many and varied. You can go to some websites, you can use some apps, and you can consume a number of TV programs, for instance, and that will be a completely okay experience. You'll be fine. You'll get what you came for, and you'll go away satisfied. But in far too many cases, what you'll find is there'll be barriers to your understanding of what's on the webpage, what is in the app, or what is happening on the TV screen. And those barriers will prevent you from being able to, at one level, get the most from the information that's being provided to you. And at the other level, not getting anything at all or having a really unpleasant experience. A good example might be you can go to many media websites. I won't name names, don't worry, your lawyers are safe. But I will just say that if you go to some websites, often the first thing that you experience is loud music, a very active video, which is getting in the way of the information on the page if you're using assistive technology like a screen reader, because what's happening then is the user cannot hear their screen reader. What they're hearing is loud music.
Neil, is there, just really to pick on to that off. Is there it's hard to turn it off. That's the point. Should it be possible for a user for whom, and this is quite possibly advertising, with all the flashing and everything.
Often it will be, yes.
Should there be an option for someone to turn that off, or are companies reluctant to do that because we all might turn it off? You know, what are the solutions? What are some of the solutions?
Yes, and of course you understand why advertising organizations want to get their message across. Of course you understand that, but if the result of you doing that in a very aggressive way, which is what that amounts to, is that you put off you don't know how many people, you irritate other people who may not have any disability but they just don't like the intrusion, then of course a better solution would be give them the control as to whether they get assailed with this stuff or not. And if they have the control, they can choose to watch it or not watch it. And if they're not watching it, that probably tells you something about the advertising quality.
Let's stay with websites at the moment because they're so pervasive as a source of news throughout the day. What would make a difference with things like images and graphics. Can you just explain for the sight impaired, say?
Yeah. So, again, images and graphics are a really important part of any web experience for a provider, a content provider, and, of course, for millions of visitors. So it's not the presence of the graphics that is the issue. It's the fact that very often they're not described in a way that I can use. I'm a totally blind person. If I come across a graphic and that graphic doesn't have alt text, which is a technique that content creators can use to send a message essentially to my assistive technology to tell me what is going on in that picture or in that caption. If that alt text isn't present, all I get is a string of meaningless alphanumeric characters, which will stop me from, first of all, it'll slow me down from consuming the rest of the page, but also it's just a pain to listen to. So I will find that I'm probably just going to walk away again.
Now, back to the ads, would there be a mechanism where the ad could still be presented so that the rest of us can't all opt out, but at least a user could determine when and how it appears if under an accessibility option?
Yeah, look, there are techniques that can be used to detect whether assistive technology is being used. I do think that's that would be better than nothing, but it is you still don't know who your audience is when they visit your website. There are many people who have a disability who do not use assistive technology, so they would still maybe struggle with that, but at the same time they're not using any method that you could detect that they might have those problems. So I think there has to be a little bit of a rethink as to, you know, what is the purpose of the advertising. What you can guarantee what it isn't is to annoy people and to put people off.
What are the exemplars that are doing things well, whether here or overseas, and how well are the big New Zealand providers keeping up?
Like I said at the beginning, it's a mixed story. There are definitely providers who are doing very well and have a long track record of doing well, but even they often fall back. So I said earlier I wouldn't name organizations because we don't want to make it difficult for your lawyers, but I will say that an organization like your own at Radio New Zealand has a really good long-standing track record of providing accessible content and has done for best part of two decades, if not longer. And the reason for that is it made a decision at that time that he understood that this was important and it was going to do. I don't think most non-disabled visitors to your website or who use your app would actually appreciate that because they don't need to. It doesn't interfere with their experience. But even Radio New Zealand can have a bad day. And I was looking at an article only a couple of days ago that was actually really difficult to read from my perspective, and that's not my normal experience. So even the best exemplars sometimes get it wrong, and that's why we do need standards. That's why we do need guidelines that say to providers, there are things that you can do that maximize your chance of making your content as accessible as it can be. And if you follow these guidelines, then you are giving yourself the best opportunity to do that.
Thank you, Neil. Let's bring in Juliana Carvalho now. Juliana. Could we pick up on that? From the point of the technology is there, the options are there, it sounds like, best practice is there, but does it need some strong guidelines or, in this case, some legislation in order to ensure people are doing it? Your thoughts, Juliana.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. That's what we've been advocating for so long, for the creation of accessibility legislation in New Zealand. We know that other countries are far away, like the way ahead of New Zealand. And it's a must, you know, like, and adding to what Neil was saying about the way the information is provided, Let's not forget about other communities, within the disability community, like the deaf audience or people with learning disabilities. Is the information provided in a way that is in plain language that is easier to consume? If you're a deaf, New Zealand Sign Language is your first language, English the second. The grammar is totally different. So even though you have, captions, not everybody will be able to actually absorb the information properly. And we're talking about information that is really relevant. It could be, life and death information. We're talking about emergency or, things that public interest. And absolutely, we need accessibility legislation, and we need minimum accessibility standards to make easier for the providers to be able to, comply. And of course, you need enforcement because not everyone will just do because it's best practice or because it's the right thing to do. And that's where enforcement comes into place.
It's extraordinary, isn't it? As an example, Mojo Mathers, the former Green MP who's deaf, recounts that her maiden speech to Parliament on the news was captioned, but the news readers and journalists' piece wasn't. So it had been done so that hearing people could understand her speak better, but not so that the hearing impaired could hear everything else. Is that still happening?
It's a great example of ableism in the media, So why they accommodate because there was assumption that people will not understand her speech, and then that's okay, that let's provide the accessibility for the people who, it's mind-blowing really that, reverse the story and see how all the people that could not have access to the information field, So that's a really, really great example of ableism in the media.
What would you change then with the legislation? And where is it at, by the way? I think it's a bit stalled at the moment, is it?
So at the moment, Minister Penny Simmons is waiting to hear back from Waikato officials. They're doing a analysis on the gap between, where the proposed bill is and what are the gaps from what the community has been asking for. We recently delivered a petition to Parliament asking for the redrafting of the bill. We believe that the bill as it is, it is really useless. Probably need to start from scratch and with co-design and, actual input from those who are most impacted by the legislation.
Thank you. I know there's a Kōrero for Change campaign underway and that this issue's the first that you're focusing on. There'll be more throughout the year. So look forward to catching up again, Juliana. Thank you.